All right, good evening, everyone. This is Dave Elliott. Welcome to the call tonight. I'm really glad that you were able to make it. Tonight we're going to talk about some new content, some stuff that I've been working on and developing, and I'm actually preparing to do some media interviews, and this is some of the content. So I'm giving it a little bit of a dry run for you. I've done a few interviews with this with other coaches, and tonight's content is called Igniting the Sparks. Sparks is an acronym, S-P-A-R-K-S. And I am going to talk about that a little bit tonight. Now, I think I know most of you on this call, but for the purpose of anyone else who's listening that doesn't know me as much, let me, if I may, I'd love to give you a quick background on me. My name is Dave Elliott. My company is called A Legendary Love for Life. It's a division of Empower Unlimited Incorporated coaching organization. And the content that I'm developing is basically to help people in relationships. Specifically, what do you do when you love your partner but you're not in love and there's just maybe something missing? I've been studying relationships for the last 12 years. Real quick, I was divorced in 1998. It was a pretty painful experience. I didn't want to ever repeat it again. So I spent the next dozen years learning the best from the best of the best, everything that I could about relationships. I've worked with Tony Robbins. I'm a senior leader in his organization. I've worked with him for about 8-9 years. And I've read from John Gray and Alison Armstrong as someone who I really admire a great deal, and David Data, all types of different people, some of the best of the best. And I guess the beauty of it is I've been studying their work for a very long time so that I can condense it into the stuff that I think is really useful, really quick. And I used my background as an advertising guy, a designer, writer, in order to sort of compress things together and make them quicker, easier, a little easier to digest, hopefully. That's my hope, and I'm sure you'll be able to know a little something more about that by the time we finish the call. As I said, tonight's topic is Igniting the Sparks, and SPARKS is an acronym. The reason I like to work in acronyms is it's because it's a good way to chunk down a lot of information into sort of bite-sized pieces and frameworks, and it's becomes really useful so that you could just sort of remember what you're doing. A lot of times when you're in the middle of something or if you're going through something emotionally, it's hard to stay really present with what's going on. But if you have this acronym or this framework, I think it sort of keeps you a little bit better on track and helps you learn it more quickly. So as I said earlier, I really sort of call this area my relationship sweet spot. And that is, again, that idea of couples who love their partner, but they're not in love. The thing is, people have been together for quite a while, and if there's not a conscious focus on deepening the relationship, a lot of times we're all busier than ever. We're pulled in a million different directions between kids, jobs, hobbies, and just day-to-day living. That a lot of times things get in the way of that relationship, and if you're not focusing on it, then other things tend to get in the way. So the good news is I've had a lot of success helping couples who recognize and appreciate this with helping them get back on track by changing their focus and moving towards teaching them some new skills as well. And so when I talked about in the memo that you all got or the announcement on this particular call, it was all about, why do I use that line, people who love their partner but they're not in love. And the reason I think from that letter also is I think that line has made it into more breakup speeches than any other, perhaps the exception of no, it's not you, it's me, where people are looking for just a graceful way to make an exit. But I think it perfectly describes that feeling of, wow, I feel like I'm missing something, something's not right here, this isn't all I could get and I don't want to settle. I teach a lot of skills and awareness that helps people to develop the love and appreciation they already have and to get even more of that love and that closer relationship that I feel they deserve. And listen, I don't make any profound, bold claims that I can save any relationship. That's just not the case, and I wouldn't insult your intelligence with that. Some relationships don't really have the necessary base to be saved. And what I've noticed in my work is when I find a relationship where there's that really good base, now I have a solid foundation from which I can build something. You can't build a beautiful home with structural integrity on a weak foundation. It'll just give way and it collapses under the weight of its own existence. So I'm going to talk about some of these tools and some of the techniques and some of the skills that I use and share with the couples that I've worked with and individuals for that matter, and we'll give you some information, and hopefully you will all have some good questions at the end, and I'll be happy to answer those. So first of all, I believe in setting up games you can't win, and quite simply, if there is a game that you can't win, I don't really see the use in playing. People just, you know, they lose their excitement for the game when you can never win it, so it just becomes tedious and no fun. And it's really about a process of aligning your heart and your mind and getting the two working together so that you're congruent. You know what you want, you know what it looks like, and then you have some skills and strategies to go out and get it. Now, I'm all about emotion and passion, but anytime you lead with just your heart and you leave your brain behind, you're about to have what I would call a learning experience, which means it's probably not going to go well. You know, human beings work best when they're fully integrated and aligned and they know why they're doing things and for what noble purpose. So I help people get a lot of clarity about what it is they're looking for, what it looks like, and how to go about getting it. So you may be wondering, I named my company A Legendary Love for Life, and maybe you're wondering what exactly that means and how I would define it. So allow me to tell you. For me, I think a legendary love for life is when each partner is a raving fan of the other. It's when two people put the needs of the other ahead of their own, and they really actually know their partner better than they know themselves. And I also love that when I tell people that my skill as a coach, I think one of my greatest gifts is that I have the ability to see the greatness in other people even when they don't see it. And I think that is what's transformational for me as a coach, and I think it's absolutely every bit as transformational within the confines of an intimate relationship. You know, let's face it, we're all going to have days we're not at our best. We're all going to have moments that we're not proud of, and we're all going to have situations that come by when you wish you could get a redo on it. And if you have a partner that gives you the grace of saying, yep, you're right, you did screw up, but tomorrow's another day and you get another shot, I think that's huge, and I think that's really what makes a relationship legendary. That and the fact that other people around you see it, and they know it, and they feel it, and, you know, it's just a really remarkable thing. We've all been around people who we see, and we really admire their relationship, and it's something we aspire to and something that feels great and looks great, and people can tell. And I think the other beauty of it is when you're playing at that level, you also, you know, teach your kids and other people around you how to step up and have a legendary love for life. So, you know, bottom line, I think it's all about giving you the peace of mind to know that at the end of the day, nothing else matters because your partner comes first, and together, the two of you will be able to handle anything that comes your way. Simply, it's just giving one another the grace to know that, you know what, we got this and we're in it together and we're on the same team. So, I think the key to that great relationship is sparks, and that's a great word, and that's specifically why I use that word to talk about this particular content. I think it's memorable, it's actionable, and it's doable, and I wanted to give you some of the thinking behind it. So if we're starting out right out of the gate, the S in Sparks stands for strategy, and I hope you're taking some notes, so this will all come back together for you at the end. S starts with is for strategy, and that's the idea of getting clarity and aligning your needs with outcome, when you have to decide and commit to good choices. So, you know, you might be thinking to yourself, wait a minute, are you saying that falling in love requires a strategy? I know that doesn't sound incredibly romantic. Well, let me be honest with you. Let's face it. I may be skipping to the end here, but to truly be successful in a relationship, it's really an inside game. It's about who you are and whether you can bring yourself to the table and be your best self so that you can be strong and vulnerable and completely there, playing your part and also bridging the gap when necessary. So a lot of the work I do is about helping people to take a step back again, identify where they are, where they want to be, and help them become more whole and more aware and just more present. Presence is one of the greatest gifts you can give a partner. And I always talk about the fact that, you know what, motive matters. It's why you do what you're doing and what is it that you want. just makes a huge difference. Two people are going to be on the same page. They got to know that one another have good motives, and there's a reason why we do it. That's especially important when something goes down that's probably doesn't feel as good to one partner. If there wasn't a motive, or there wasn't, they didn't mean to harm you or hurt you or disappoint you, it's probably a lot easier to move forward. And I find that happens a lot. So I'm going to teach you about a lot of different things. We'll talk about polarity, rapport, listening skills, reframes, a lot of stuff. But it really comes down to getting your head right and your heart aligned. So one of the biggest issues that I see with my clients and my friends, frankly, are these things called invisible sabotagers. You know, I see them all the time. I had a friend of mine call me today and several times in the last couple of weeks. She's going through a tough time with a guy she's been involved with. And they were really happy for a long time, but one of the issues that keeps coming up is she finds that she's scaring these guys away, and they just sort of are walking away from the situation because they get overwhelmed, or they're maybe not ready, or it's too soon, too fast. And, you know, it's one of those things where she doesn't know she's doing, and we've talked about it, but, you know, now I'm helping her, and she's doing better. Every relationship she's done better than the last. And so we're getting to that place where, you know, hopefully she will not be sabotaging these relationships when they come up, and she'll be able to be present and be where it is and not try to rush it ahead and sort of leave the other person behind in a wake. So invisible sabotagers, they just tend to get in the way. A lot of times that looks like different things, like, you know, we have destructing, limiting beliefs, and those are typically based on anchors from previous relationships that probably didn't go well. In my case in point, this woman who was, had all these guys who were sort of gung-ho in the beginning and then very quickly lose the steam and feel like, yeah, no, this isn't it. And sometimes they basically just disappear on her, which is not very good for her, because it starts to her going down that spiral downward of what could I do, what have I done, what was wrong with me, why doesn't anyone want to stay with me, and that doesn't serve anyone. But we all go to those places occasionally, some of us not nearly as often as others, and some more often. So a lot of times that fires off what we call an anchor, and an anchor is an emotional reaction to a previous event where emotion was high. So again, if she's had people leave in the past, and then something happens where it looks like that's happened again, and all of a sudden it triggers that emotional chain of events all over again, and there's all this, you know, scarcity, fear, what's wrong with me, why does this always happen to me, what's wrong here? And again, this is her work to do. This is her opportunity to stop going to this place. And there's a reason why people go there. It serves them in the short term, but it also sabotages long term. So the beauty of coaching is that someone who is outside of the situation, is not emotionally pulled into it, sees what's going on, and, you know, they can sort of help you ask some great questions and get out of that place and get to a place that's much more resourceful, where you can come from strength rather than weakness. Some other examples of invisible sabotages are things like, you know, having needs in conflict. Maybe, you know, two people just bottom line want different things, but when you're in the middle of a relationship, people don't step back and say, well, wait a minute, are our needs really in value and values in alignment? People don't see that, and it's really important if you're going to have a sound legendary love for life. Life is a long time, and you're going to want to make sure that you're aligned with your partner and you guys want similar things, maybe not identical, but similar. And a lot of times these anchors create self-worth issues, things of that nature, where, again, back to my example, just not feeling like you bring value to the situation. And that's never a good place. I mean, can you imagine being in a relationship with someone who has no idea why you're with them? After a while, you would start to doubt yourself why you're with them. So it's really important that people who are in relationship go into it with a good self-image and feel strong and feel good about themselves. So, let's see, there are really hundreds of ways to sabotage yourself, and really I think the best way to get out of it is to do some personal development work, and, you know, again, preferably with a coach. One of my mentors, Keith Cunningham, is pretty much a business genius, and I love that he always asks this a great question. His question is, what don't I see? And he says it with a nice Texas drawl, too. What don't I see? And, cause, and here's the thing. You, people all, when they're having a challenge with their relationship, we get on the phone with a girlfriend or talk to the guys, and you're talking to them about what's going on. And the thing is, friends, they always have, you know, your best interests in mind, sort of. In their mind, their best interest, the best way they can serve you is they just want you not to feel bad. You know, they want to make you feel better. And the problem is that sometimes friends, you know, can do more harm than good, quite frankly. And I've seen it happen the number of times when my clients come to me and they put together their little kangaroo court of all their friends and what's going on. And quite frankly, a lot of times the relation, the advice that they get is totally contrary. One person says one thing, another says another, and quite frankly, all they're doing is running it through their own filter of experience. And they're not trained, quite frankly, so that's a challenge. You have to be very careful who you ask for advice. In fact, your friends might have relationships that are even more screwed up in your own, than your own, so between that and the fact that they want to make you feel better, and the most important thing, too, is they're your friends, and quite frankly, they don't want to lose you. They have a vested interest in keeping you roughly in the same place as you are now. Because now at this point is where you connect. It's where you, it's kind of like a thermostat if you think about it. If someone is a 70 degree person and they start falling down and hanging around with 50 degree people, it's going to feel pretty rotten and they're going to jump back up and do what it takes to get to 70. And likewise, if they start hanging out with 90 degree people, they're not going to feel comfortable there, so they'll go back down. Because people tend to stay where they believe they belong. And that's another important reason why it's really important to be careful who you're asking for in terms of advice on relationships. So another thing that I want to go over with you is, you know, there are six things that make or break every single relationship every time. And that's because it's related to six needs. And what I call that is my serve-up pyramid. It's based on human motivational psychology, again, just because it's easy to remember. It's an acronym. S-E-R-V-U-P stands for serve-up. So I'll go and run through that real quickly for you. Essentially, the S stands for service or contribution. The thing is, if you're in a relationship where you feel like you're contributing to others and you feel like you're giving back and it's not all about you, you can be in a great place. The E is for expansion. That is all about, are you growing? Are you getting better? Are you taking your love deeper? And that's an important need. If that's not being met, people get to a place where they're not feeling good about it. Those two needs are needs of the spirit. We need to feel like we're constantly growing and moving forward and getting better. And we need to feel like it's not just about us. We're giving something back, something to the greater good. So as you move down to the R is for, you know, relationship, connection, love, whatever you want to call that, it's R for relationship here. But, you know, we need to feel close. We need to be connected. We need to have those magic moments, those things that bring us together. And when you don't feel like you're growing together or connected or on the same page or understood by your partner, that's a huge one where that just undermines the integrity of the entire relationship. Now, the V in this stands for valued and significant. I can tell you this is a huge one. I see it happen all the time. Anytime someone feels like they are not valued or significant to their partner, trouble is brewing, most definitely. And a lot of people have that as one of their number one needs. And quite frankly, when I got into this work, it was my number one need. So I can tell you with absolute authority that it doesn't work incredibly well in relationship with other people. So the next need is there is unpredictability or variety. A lot of people need to feel like, you know, there's excitement, there's new things, there's new experiences. You know, the worst thing you could do is have a relationship that becomes stagnant or boring and it's the same old over and over and over again. You need to know that there are new things, you're breaking new ground, discovering new horizons for yourself and your partner within the relationship. And lastly, the other need is all about predictability or certainty. And it's about, you know, at the end of the day, is your partner there for you? Does he or she have your back? Are they there for you? Are your needs in alignment? Do you know one another? Do you know one another really well? Are you lined up and congruent with them. So those are the six needs, and anytime one of those starts to go away, got trouble brewing, and when you start to get more than one, two, three of them, you know, it's pretty much moving towards a bad direction. And again, those needs are service to others, expansion or growth, relationship, connection, love, or the V is for valued or significant, U is unpredictability, variety, fun, excitement, and the P, lastly, is all about predictability, certainty, being on the same page, essentially. So those six needs are hallmarks of any situation, and we absolutely need them in relationship with others. So, and those are a great way to, I use these tools as a way to help people to get clear on their outcome and congruent in their values and beliefs and strategies. So, you know, for instance, you might have someone who has a values conflict. They may want different things. Like I've seen it happen where one person in the relationship really wants children, feels like they won't be complete without them, and the other is like, no, I've been there and done that. That's a huge values conflict, and that's something that needs to be, you know, discussed and arrived at in a place where both couples feel good and feel heard and respected. And it's not to say that people don't change their minds. They do, especially when they feel heard or respected or understood. In a great relationship, you know, oftentimes people will come around. They'll change their minds about something that they once felt strongly about. Because, again, they're walking into a relationship, and it's about how can I serve my partner? And it's not just about getting your own needs met. So anyway, that's a lot of information about strategy. The last thing I'd love to cover is I created a CD a while ago. It's called The Hug and Kiss Hierarchy. And, again, you guessed it. That's right. It is an acronym. And Hug and Kiss is all about helping to elicit and understand your partner's exact and specific lover attraction strategy. Think about it as your own unique code of what you value and respect most, or maybe it's like a combination to a safe, if you will. When people, you know, have experiences in relationship, they know what felt like love in the past, and that becomes very important to it. So the things that they've had in the past and feel really great, that becomes very important. The things that they didn't have in the past, that becomes hugely important too. So it's important to recognize that people are always creating and recreating their love or attraction strategy, and they need to have those met. Otherwise, again, trouble's brewing. And I'll give you a great example. My relationship, my girl and I, we have totally different top hierarchy needs, but we know that. And we work within it. And the interesting thing is our needs have actually sort of changed a little bit. My girl is very much all about the S, special moments and quality time. And I've come to value that a lot more since being in relationship with her. And I used to be, the H in Hug and Kiss is about human touch. And a lot of men, I find in my research, are very much driven by, you know, human touch or affection or kinesthetic pleasure, holding hands, kissing, touching, fondling, whatever that looks like for them, whatever feels right to them. Men and women are different, and we're going to talk a lot about this type of stuff too. The interesting thing about men and women, there's polarity there. Women tend to open to sex through feeling loved. A woman can't really feel great about having sex unless she is feeling really loved and worshipped and adored, whereas a man doesn't so much need to feel loved to be prepared for sex. So it's totally opposite. But if you know that, you can actually work within the system very well. It's just important to know that and understand it. So, again, the S in SPARKS stands for strategy. So it's all about what you're doing, why you're doing it, where you are, and where you want to be. It's incredibly important. And that's some of the areas where I can help people out a great deal. Now, the P, moving on, is about polarity. And you need to understand this critical natural law and live within it, or you will struggle. Polarity is really the key to everything, to attraction, to feeling understood, to feeling safe. Polarity is really about masculinity and femininity and how they interact and how they work so that you can create sparks. If you do not have polarity where opposites attract, you're going to run into a situation where the relationship is not going to feel good to one or both partners, and it will eventually die out because there's no charge in it. There's just no electricity, no the dancing energies of opposites attract. And the way I explain it is, think about it, what I call the polarity principle. It works on a continuum. So it's like that old number line that we used to do in school. If you have a line with two arrows out at the opposite ends, left and right, and in the center is a zero for base, essentially, you know, the left will be, let's call it masculinity, and the right side of the arrow will be femininity. Now, when both people, the masculine partner and the feminine partner, are out at the outer edges there, they've got great sparks, and that's where things ignite because they're different. As people tend to move toward the center, though, it's a, and by the way, this is not about necessarily gender, it's about energy. So men can be feminine, and feminine can absolutely, and women can absolutely be masculine. In fact, it's one of the biggest problems I see is people whose polarity has shifted for numerous reasons, and it's incredibly common. A lot of people, there's a lot of women out there who live very much from their masculine energy, and there's a lot of men, frankly, who are living from their feminine energy, and it creates problems and wreaks havoc within their relationships. So, again, it's important that you're on the outer edges of that so that there's the good sparks. Anytime like the masculine starts to go feminine and feminine goes masculine, you're moving towards the center where zero is, you got a problem. You're just not resonating, and you're not going to feel good. Now, a lot of this, you may think, well, I don't know, this is kind of based on stereotypes, and it is to a degree. But you know what? Stereotypes exist for a reason, quite frankly. There's always exceptions to every rule, but this is really about energy. And I believe it's important, if you don't understand polarity, it doesn't matter whether you understand it or know it. It's at work all the time. It's like gravity. You can not know a thing about gravity, and if you're sitting under an apple tree, you are likely to get smacked in the head with a falling apple. It is a natural law. It's always working whether you understand it fully or operate within it or not. So, you know, I try to teach this, and I like people to have a really good sense of, you know, a groundedness, if you will, of understanding feminine traits and masculine traits and how they interact. So this may be a little bit generic, but let's go over a couple of things, and we'll show you how opposite they truly are. You know, a feminine trait would be that they sort of process the world via feelings. They have an emotional sensory receptor that sort of processes everything through how they feel about things, whereas masculine's job is to solve problems, and they're very logical and analytical, and they're wired to say, what's the problem, fix it, done, and be done with it. Emotions just get in the way for masculine energy, so they are able to box those out and put them out of the whole situation. They just get in the way. A feminine trait is all about filling up and having more, and again, feeling and expansion. Whereas the masculine trait, all he wants to do is release and empty and relax. That's why at the end of the day, he wants to come home to his man cave, relax, watch TV, not talk. Again, it's totally different energy, whereas the feminine wants to talk and hear all about your day and tell you about her day. It's just a different energy. Neither is right nor wrong. It just is. Again, a feminine trait is all about nurturing and gathering to support your family and care for others and build relationships, whereas the masculine is the hunter. He just knows he's got a job to do, and his job is to be the provider for his family and to get out there and do it, and you cannot tell him how it's done. One thing masculine hates is for feminine to ask him to do something and try to dictate process at the same time, tell him how to do it. That drives masculine energy, the man, crazy to be told what to do and how to do it. You can ask him to do it, but you really need to stop at dictating process if you really want it to be done and done well. Another trait of feminine energy is about taking small things and sort of expanding them and making them big. Again, it's about expansion, about filling up feelings. Masculine's all about taking big stuff and making it small because, again, he's about solving a problem and he's about getting down to the lowest common denominator. Number one most important thing for the feminine to feel before she can move forward in relationship is she must feel safe and understood. I teach people about this all the time. Men especially have no idea how often women don't feel safe in a given day, month, or 24-hour period. Women frequently are looking over their shoulder because they have what's known as diffuse awareness. They were more, you know, from a deeply scripted DNA, they were more prey, and they were constantly looking over their shoulder. Again, the masculine was hunter. Masculine doesn't really experience fear for their own personal safety on a regular basis. They just don't. It's different because that's one of those things that they put aside. So, again, these are huge differences in the way people move through this world. And when you understand that, it makes a lot of sense. To deny it or not want to understand it or not know it only puts you more at risk of having a challenge in this area, in my belief. Again, another feminine trait. How many times do we know someone, or a woman, who just does everything for everyone else and gives everything away and gives more than she has and then finds herself completely empty and run down at the end of the day because she feels like she's exhausted everything she has to give? That's because she's a nurturer. She's a caretaker. Masculine is an energy conservation machine. He doesn't believe in wasting energy. He doesn't believe in expanding something because it would just be foolish if he doesn't really want it. He has to know exactly what he wants, why he wants it, and he will use exactly the amount of energy that it takes to do the job and not a bit more because they're all about conserving energy. Again, one of the things for a woman, in addition to feeling safe, she has to absolutely feel cared for and protected. A man's role is to protect and provide, whereas, interestingly enough, a man, his most important need is to have at least the illusion of freedom. That's why so many men, you know, run and have to get away, especially in that situation I was telling you about with my client. You know, as soon as they believe their freedom is getting taken or something like that, you know, guys go into scarcity and they're out the door sometimes, especially ones who haven't done this personal development, who haven't understood this type of information we're talking about. A man has to at least feel like he has the option that he could be free, but that doesn't mean he's not fine to settle down when he's in the right situation with the right person. Just needs to have the feeling of freedom, and there's a lot of ways to help him have that. And interestingly enough, another feminine trait, feminine totally responds to praise and adoration, whereas a lot of times men and masculine energy responds to a challenge or, you know, specifically having to step up to do something. A lot of times men will react to that much better than something that's praising. A lot of times they're wired that they love the challenge. They love stepping up and conquering something. It's the hunter within them. So another feminine trait is they tend to have a lot of value in hanging on and always, again, continuing to nurture and give their gifts because that's who they are and that's what they're born to do, essentially. Whereas masculine, again, is about letting go, releasing an empty, moving away. Interestingly enough, one of the other areas that causes challenge in a relationship where masculine and feminine is totally different is feminine because she tends to process the world via emotion. That creates a stickiness in terms of a memory. So again, that's a great example of that is, I think we all remember where we were on 9/11. And the reason that is because when you take emotion and you mix it with fact, it becomes really sticky and very memorable. Whereas man, on the other hand, again, filters out the emotional information, and he is quite stunned when you can sit there, you know, 6 years after he did something and tell him what he said, who he said it to, and what he was wearing at the time and what he, you know, where he was standing. You know, men just don't retain that type of information. And it, frankly, it blows their mind when feminine does. So they're at a distinct disadvantage. So, and one of the great things is, you know, because I understand how masculine and feminine processes information, well, of course, the smart thing for me to do is to break it down differently for them. So the way I communicate with a woman client or a feminine client is going to be totally different than I will connect with a male client or masculine energy. For instance, I might praise feminine, whereas I would sort of actually kind of push the masculine and call out his deeper the things that drive him and get him to rise to challenge. So it's totally differently. And a lot of times I'll have situations where I might only be coaching one person in the couple, but the stuff is so powerful, I tend to get results by just changing one person, because that's the thing. That's how powerful this is. If you change how one person acts, the other person can't help but react. So I'll give you a great example for those of you who may not yet be on my newsletter list, and I send it out every couple of weeks. I have a great example in there right now of a couple that I was working with who she found out that her husband was having an affair with someone, and in just four sessions we were able to turn that around because I worked only with her, and I never even spoke to her husband until after they came back around. And specifically what I did was I helped her get her best self back again. She had totally lost the light and that was so attractive to her husband, because she was going through some difficult things, difficult times of her own, and her husband had no idea how to fix it or make it better. And the thing is, when he couldn't find the light in her, he noticed it somewhere else. I'm not making it right. I'm just explaining how it works. And that's what happened. So the great news is, in just a few sessions, working with just her, you know, we were able to turn it around. And if you're interested in more about that particular story, please check out my website, legendaryloveforlife.com. And that story is on there. It's one of the top stories this month or this week. So, you know, it's really incredibly powerful and profound when you can have that kind of effect just by working with one partner. So, and that brings us to the A. So we've got the S is about strategy. The P is about polarity. You know a lot of great information about that. So now we are going to get to the A, which is appreciation. And appreciation is all about learning to see the greatness in your partner, even if it's temporarily waning or they're going through a tough time. It's about an automatic reframe about, you know, rather than focusing on what's wrong, and that's always available, it's about focusing on, well, what's great here? What do I love about this person? What's fantastic? What do I value about my partner? And you can sort of set that up to be an automatic reframe. And I've had a lot of success with helping people be able to do that. One of the things I help men to understand, masculine to understand, is that in this idea of appreciation, that's the number one thing that a man needs more than anything, is he knows that you are receptive, you will receive his gifts. And the feminine, in order to, again, feel safe, she needs to feel safe and be vulnerable. She's got to test to make sure, is this my guy, is this my guy, is this my guy? And so she will test constantly to find out if she's safe, if she's okay, and if he's her man. And a lot of men, when they don't understand that system, and I myself included at one time, we thought that was a system that didn't feel good and didn't work because we were constantly being tested again and again and again. And it felt, when you didn't know any better, like maybe you were doing something wrong. Like, my God, why doesn't she trust me? Why doesn't she know I'm here for her? But when you understand that that's really how it's designed, that if you want to have your partner open and take them to a beautiful place that's far deeper than they can ever go on their own, you understand the system and you work within it, and you work within it beautifully. But you have to understand it, and you have to be confident within it, and you have to know how it works. So that's a lot about appreciation. The thing is, people do tend to grow apart over time or have things that come up in situations that you could never prevent. But again, as long as you're doing that reframe of what's great about this, what do I love about this person, you know, a lot of times that will help. When you change the focus, you change the meaning. When you change the meaning, it creates a whole new emotion, and you can go back deeper. So that's kind of short. It's all about appreciation, appreciating your partner, finding the greatness in them, even when they don't see it. I can tell you that's huge. The story that I mentioned just a moment ago about the couple who the male partner was cheating, the thing that turned it all around, I don't want to give you the end of the story, but the end is that she found out, she confronted him, and she said, you know what, it has to stop, and I'm willing to forgive it if it stops right now. And when he was feeling totally ashamed and totally bad about what he had done, and he was frankly just blown away that she would be so compassionate and so conduct herself with such grace and dignity when he knew, he absolutely knew that he had just violated her trust in a terrible way. And he felt so much shame, but he realized that when she was able to just hold herself within that grace and give him a way back, he quickly took advantage of that opportunity and he ended it. So that was the power of it. Again, it's coming from that appreciation, but also knowing who you are as well. So next, that brings us to the R in Sparks. Again, we have got strategy, we've got polarity, we've got appreciation. So far, that's a really great basis for a phenomenal relationship. The R stands for romance, and that's about passion. And you know, passion lives in the world of uncertainty. It's about teasing. It's about attraction. It's about playfulness. And that happens, again, when both couples are solidly in their opposite polarity, the masculine and feminine. They have those dancing energies. A lot of ladies on this call, and ladies, you know, as before I even say it, needy men are incredibly unattractive. What's really appealing about a man is when he knows who he is, when he knows he's on his mission, he's her rock, and he just gets her. And she can push him and test him, but he doesn't lose his center and he doesn't get pushed over because he knows absolutely who he is and what he's here to do. And the beauty of the feminine is your job is to test him and make sure that he is on his mission and he is feeling good and he is in a great place and he is living congruent with who he's supposed to be. That's the gift, back and forth. And when he's doing that, he will feel strong. But if he's not doing it and you're able to push him over, that's kind of scary because you were able to take the legs right out from under him and pull the rug out from under him. That's a terrible place for a man to be. Again, a lot of times that requires some coaching to get him back, rising to a challenge a little bit that's specifically designed to help him win the game and get back. The fact is we all have moments where we get off our mission or lose sight of who we are in the moment, but when those tend to spiral out of control, it tends to be a real crisis of confidence. And again, a coach is someone who can help that person get back to where they belong quickly and artfully. So passion absolutely lives in the world of uncertainty. And, you know, the one thing that kills it is when there's just, you know, too much certainty. It's got to be that teasing and that playfulness. It's huge. It's just critical that you have those, the variety and the surprises and the playfulness. It keeps your relationship fresh and lively and vigorous in a great place where each couple is playing with the other and having fun. So that is the romance. That is R for romance. The next letter in Sparks, again, summing it up one more time, say it with me if you like. S is for strategy. P is for polarity. A is for appreciation. R is romance. And K is knowledge. And I've shared a lot of that information with you so far. It's about understanding all these things that I'm teaching you, like polarity, about the power of presence, and understanding what your partner's exact love strategy is with the, for instance, what I told you about the hug and kiss hierarchy, the seven different categories of what is absolutely critical that for your partner to feel loved and appreciated. If you don't have their hierarchy and understand what it is, what's most important and what's least important, a lot of times I see that people make the fundamental mistake of loving their partner the way they want to be loved rather than the way their partner needs to be loved. And the fact is, a couple can have totally different attraction strategies, but they can still work together effectively when they have a recognition of what each other needs to feel loved. So it's really critical that you understand that. That's why I'm talking about knowledge. Knowledge makes all the difference in the world. Again, a great example is if, masculine doesn't understand that being tested by feminine is part of how it's designed to work and supposed to work, he might start to think that, you know what, damn, I can never please this woman. I'm sick of this. I got to get out of here. And then he'll go on to a next relationship and start and do the same thing all over again because he doesn't understand and he doesn't have the knowledge This is how it's supposed to work. This is how it's always going to work. And the problem with leaving a relationship is that you can always do it. It's always available to you. But the problem is you go and take you with you, and you go and make the same fundamental mistakes over and over again until you learn a better way. I don't recommend that. And again, I know a little bit about what I'm talking about because I did it myself, which is why I studied this work so much. After my marriage ended, I spent more than a decade learning from the best of the best, you know, people like Tony Robbins and Gary Chapman, and who did all about the understanding people's love language, and David Data, who talked about masculinity, and Alison Armstrong, who I think does amazing work in helping women to understand men and work with them more effectively and never castrating them or emasculating a man in order to get what they want, because it's damaging, not just damaging in the short term, it's damaging in the long term. And quite frankly, it just doesn't work. So she's, for the last 20 years, been doing some amazing work in helping women to get away from that place and not go there anymore. And again, John Gray, he's pretty good at what he does as well. I think the beauty of coaching and the value of a coach is specifically, you know, an expert in an area teaches you a few things. They teach you what to pay attention to, what to look for, what things mean, you know, how things work, and how they're probably likely to turn out. So how valuable is that to have someone who has been down that road, who understands these things, and at a glance says, yep, you can do that, and here's what's likely to happen, and here's what you'll probably do from there. And I probably wouldn't do that, because what would work better in this situation is this and this and this, and it would get you here. That is really the beauty of what I believe I specifically offer, and coaching as an expert offers. It's about knowing the road ahead and helping people and seeing how things are likely to turn out. I did a lot of thinking about this recently. I met another client who had me do, I got to do some thinking after I talked to him. He was going through a divorce literally as we speak. And, you know, I talked to him at the end after connecting with him, and I asked the question, well, you know, how can I most effectively serve you right now? And we sort of talked about it, and we talked about some different things that I do. But I love that I thought about it later, and what I came up with is this. The greatest gift I can offer someone is compression of time. And what I mean by that specifically is, you know, more than a dozen years ago, I got divorced. And, you know, after that, I got into some relationships and did the same old mistakes over, and then made a couple of new ones. And essentially, you know, even though I knew that I needed to be better and I was studying the best of the best in the field of relationship, I was still making the same stupid mistakes and some all new ones. And I realized that, you know, the great news is I've made remarkable progress, I'm delighted to say. And I'm in a beautiful relationship now, and I'm such a beautiful gift. And I couldn't be more happy. And the beauty is that because of that work, I've gotten to the place where now I kind of see, oh, yeah, here's how that's likely to happen. And so, you know, I feel like I fail forward a lot more quickly, and I can help other people to use a better strategy and get what they want. So I realized that what I offer is compression of time. And again, specifically, I spent about 10 years making the same mistakes and doing stupid stuff that wasn't getting me where I wanted to. And I was studying the best of the best at the time. So I figure even if someone else is off on that road and they're trying to get it right, you know, if because I made more than a decade worth of mistakes, maybe they're even smarter than me, maybe they figure it out sooner, but if I can cut that in half or shave a lot of time off by helping you not to do stuff that's not going to work now, isn't going to work tomorrow, and won't ever work, you know, I think there's a lot of value. I guess the question is, what is a decade of your life worth? If someone had presented that question to me a decade ago, I probably would have gotten some much better coaching. So I think that's the beauty of what a coach, especially in this area, our most intimate and the most rewarding area of life. I think that's the value of what that's worth, is compressing time, because none of us have time to waste. So now, as you put that together again one last time, you've got S is strategy, P is polarity, A is appreciation, R is romance, K is knowledge, and the last S is for soulmate. Because when you combine everything that I just told you, that's what you end up with. And people ask me, you know, all the time, do I believe in soulmates, and what's your best advice for finding a soulmate? And the truth is, I tell people, I don't think you do find a soulmate. I believe you create one. And you create one by using the Sparks formula that I just shared with you. So, that's a lot of content. I hope you got some good stuff out of it. If anyone has any questions, by all means, you can unmute your phones and come back in and ask me if you have any questions about how to ignite the sparks in your relationship. Questions, anyone? Well, if there are no questions, I'm seeing that it is 7:58. And what I would like to do is make an offer to you, everyone who's there now. I really appreciate your time, and I'm really glad you came to the call. What I'd love to offer for the first 8 people who email me, I will give you a free 30-minute consultation. You can ask me any questions you want in privacy, and we'll talk exactly about your specific situation and where you are and how we can help you get to the place you want to be most effectively. So, again, for the first 8 people, send me an email or give me a call. My number is 443-858-7129. Or you can email me at dave@legendaryloveforlife.com. That's Dave, D-A-V-E, @legendaryloveforlife.com. And I welcome you to take a look at my website, check that out, and send me a note, or you can see me on Facebook or via email or phone. I'm here for you. I believe in you. I'd love to serve you. And I wish you a legendary love for life. Thanks again for your time, everyone. Have an amazing evening. Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
Dave, a lot of great information, and I really enjoyed the call.